Okay, so let's call to order the public hearing and regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, February 23rd, 2017. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes, which are not available, so we will table that to the next meeting. Is there an objection?
I really wanted to say so.
Sorry, I forgot that.
No objection.
Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Is there a member of the public who wishes to address the commission on something that's not on the agenda tonight? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record, and you are permitted to speak for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rob McFarland, P.O. Box 1861, North Bend. Only a question. An upcoming hearing, Planning Commission's looking at a development agreement, and I'm just wondering if that's a zoning change or what code section for this application. I'm having a little difficulty finding the procedure.
Thank you for your comment. I understood it as it is zoning, but I'll refer to staff if they are informed about that.
That's a good question. You should come in and ask at the office, but it's not a zoning change. If it's not a permitted use change, it would be a development agreement similar to the agreement that was on the property before, that was known as the Miller Agreement, which allowed certain uses and goes through City Council as a development agreement. I'm not familiar, I don't know off the top of my head what the code section is that governs it though.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Any other public comment on nothing on the agenda? Okay, seeing none. Next item on the agenda is Planning Commission public hearing for the sewer and water amendments for North Bend Municipal Code Title 13. Just a little bit of a, I guess, introduction for everybody before the Planning Commission gets to ask staff is your chance to give your public testimony. You'll be given 3 minutes each to speak. You can state your name and address for the record. We ask that all comments be made to the chair, that they be respectful. If they are not, you will be given one warning. After that warning, you will be asked to leave. Okay? With that, I have a sign-in sheet, and the first person on that sign-in is Kevin White. Kevin, are you ready to speak?
Maybe Ken
White, sorry.
You have to stand or can I sit here?
You can do either, whichever you're more comfortable.
Well, first of all, let me say that
your name and address.
Ken White, 409 Taylor Place, Northeast. First of all, I wish we had sewer everywhere, and I wish I could turn back the clock, because in 1976, the sewer would have cost, according to the city engineer, the city would have cost me $3,000. So, 76 is a long time back. I think the biggest problem we have in North Bend is actually sewer, as you probably are aware. In my area, I know of two sewers that were repaired wrong. I know two that have failed, and several have not been pumped for many, many years. While I'm not opposed to sewer, what you're planning on giving people the chance to not hook up to sewer but have septic tanks to King County specs, I'd like to see you add one thing to your agenda or to your item, and that is a mandatory pumping. We tried this in the early 19, when I was on the city council, and it wouldn't fly. We tried it, but it didn't fly through the public because they knew they were going to have to pay for sure. It'd be very easy to do. Make a database of all those people that have a septic tank and make sure it'd be only that they would pump it every 3 months, 3 years. I'm sorry. It would cost about, if you contracted it, it'd probably only cost each homeowner $8 to $10 a month, and I'd be happy to pump that in, so that then the city would have a handle on when each one was pumped. So I would have to pay $8, $10 a month, and at 3 years, the city would then notify me that the pump was going to be, the tank was going to be pumped on such and such a week. It could be very easily done if you do a database that would keep track of who's been pumped. And you could even do it on old sewers, but that would be pretty difficult to do, but at least all the new ones. And then eventually you could add to that so that everybody was pumped. Because the biggest problem is the lack of pumping. I know one sewer in the Silver Creek area that hadn't been pumped for 18 years. And I pump mine every 3 years, and there's only two of us. So I'd just like to see you add that to your items.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment. Appreciate it. Next person on the list is Ty Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm speaking on behalf of my parents.
Ty, your name and address for the
record. Ty Allen, 908 Ballarat Avenue Northeast. And I'm also speaking on behalf of my parents who own the property next to me at 830. It's Dawn and Edie Allen, and they live in Perfect. I own the property at 830 Ballarat Avenue Northeast. I strongly agree with bringing septic back into the code. Currently, in the Silver Creek area, we do not have any septic, or we don't have any sewer. So in order to bring down sewer, say 1,000 feet, rough estimates are like $300 a lineal foot, which make 1,000 feet about $300,000 just to bring sewer down one street halfway down Ballarat. I'm paying $200,000 for my house. It's, you know, a lot more than it is. So I would like to see a clause in, or, you know, in, an exception in the code written so that people that are, like the variance says in here, that if it has too much of a burden on the person that they, you know, septic could be allowed. People that live all the way down on Baker's Corner, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring sewer in. But if you have a raw piece of land, there's nothing you can do with it currently. It's just a worthless piece of land that you pay taxes on. King County will not release or lower your taxes at all because they say, well, you can build on it. You just have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to sell it for $100,000. So I would like to see Ms. Hyde clarified for me on one thing was the in the code how it's written is the under 1320 40B1C is a definition of building site. I would think that would be better preferred as the land itself, not the building being built on it. I believe the way North Bend does their ULID codes is when they assess the land, it is based upon the land, not the house that's on the land. I'm not sure about that, but I just think it should be in tune with whatever a ULID is. I just remember from the meetings that that was mentioned as only based upon the land. The other comment I have is that I feel like instead of a variance, it should be considered an exception to the code. Because if you meet these three criterias, then that's you're allowed septic. If it's 20% of the burden, you meet King County, and you meet those things. A variance is more for something like, I want to put a glue factory in the middle of Silver Creek. That's something against code, against planning, all that. So that's a variance against code. So this, as long as you meet this criteria, it should be an exception. So just a way of wording it differently. And I had rewritten the code basically to how I felt that it should do. And the code on this Section A is the property is more than 200 feet. Every city within King County, I've researched every city's code, has that within their code. And the reason is because of the taking clause of the Fifth Amendment. And it's a constitutional right that the city can't just come in and make a code saying that you can't use your land. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next person on the list is Sean Crawford.
Thank you.
Your
Sean
name and
address? Sean Crawford, 346 Southeast Carmichael Street, Snoqualmie. I also own a piece of land on Ballarat. It's on 10th. So we bought it about 7 or 8 months ago, actually, from his parents. It's just, not to repeat kind of everything he just said, but it's kind of the same sentiment about, well, having an extra option on top of the ULID and running at my own cost to sewer all the way down. We couldn't afford to do that. The ULID sounds less and less likely, like financially feasible, unless there's like a grant or some help there. So it's really just kind of allowing that option to have that exception or variance to have like possibility to use that land and just kind of sitting on it and waiting to pay property tax for something you can't use.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it. Okay, is there anybody else who wishes to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
Michael Thomas, 1231 La Forest Drive, SC North Bend. Actually, I have comments both spanning both water and sewer. Actually, I read both sets of code. I'll actually start a little bit with water. One of my concerns is the skyrocketing cost of water within North Bend. The same service on Salal is less than half of what the city of North Bend charges for the same residential usage. I frankly don't understand why the city's costs have gotten so far out of control. The same could be said of sewer. It's the most expensive in our region, actually, if you looked at the comparison that the city of Snoqualmie had done, and I included it in my comments. I'm also concerned that at some point, I'm also on the Salal Water Association. The city should actually have to compensate me if you're moving from Salal. We paid a fortune to be on Salal. So at some point, I understand the past residents have been moved from Salal to city, so I would expect to be compensated for the loss of my property, which is my membership in the Salal Water Association, if I'm ever converted to city. So that is a concern of mine if there's ever an attempt to do that. And I think that might be something to consider, is that, you know, we paid something like $18,000 in 1991 to be part of Salal for effectively what was the GFC and all the piping. So when the city attempts to take over the site, we expect to be compensated, if indeed that's the plan. Another thing was Salal has always been within the city, so I'm a little concerned about some of the wording in there. Salal operates well within city limits today, so there's something there. One also concern on GFC on the was a change of the strikeout around the rates. I was concerned that water rates changes have to be approved by city council. I saw some strikeouts that concerned me a little bit, so I still would like to see this put to a vote and debate at city council. So I saw some strikeouts that worried me. Getting on a little bit to sewer, and again, many of this is in my comments already, was many of us have OSS in the city, both, you know, small properties, large properties, big acreage, and it is a property rights issue. You know, these systems are fine. We maintain them. It's something that's important to the owner, but the expense of moving the sewer is quite high. If it were so great, then we would be clamoring to be on sewer, but I don't see anyone rushing to be on city sewer. Our rates are extremely high. And even Silver Creek failed. Even the city itself passed on putting in sewer in Tollgate Park and put in septic wisely to save hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, that's true for citizens. I'm in favor also of a more liberal code. If OSS is more cost effective, then people should be able to fix, change, whatever, modify any new OSS than city sewer. You're just outrageously expensive. It's not competitive, cost competitive at all. I've done some analysis. There's no way you'll ever beat the cost of an OSS for a property that can accommodate one. So I'm very concerned about that. And I think the motivations are really, you know, not genuine public safety, but trying to recover costs. And you have the rest of my comments in on board. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody and your thoughtful comments. Any further public comment? Seeing none, I will go ahead and close the public hearing. Planning Commission. I'd like to run this more like Robert Rules has for deliberation, where we'll make a motion after questions for staff, and then we'll get into our discussions, and we can table it to the next meeting, or we can decide to take action tonight if we so choose. Okay? So with that, does anybody have any questions? Seeing none. Okay, so questions for staff. Does anybody have any? I have a list.
I think that we had some more followovers from the last meeting, which is why we were joined today by people from Public Works. So if we can maybe go down that list of questions that were shared at that time.
Yeah. Gary, if you don't mind, can I speak a little bit
sure.
to some of the changes that you see in front of you today?
Yeah.
So, right, in front of you again tonight, this is the third night that you have Title 13 in front of you, which is the water and sewers. We've prepared the revisions that you see in front of you tonight include the ones that we discussed at the last Planning Commission, as well as following the conversation that we had about allowing one-offs for on-site septic systems, or OSS. We work with Public Works and our legal team to include a provision that would allow more flexibility in the code. It would allow any property greater than 200 feet from existing sewer, flexibility with either existing OSS systems or future systems. In your packet, there's a map as well that shows this one that has the red. Anything in the bright red, that shows the areas in the city that are greater than 200 feet from existing sewer. So that's a super helpful map to look at the properties that would be affected, are affected by today's code, and see more flexibility in the code with these changes. So the majority of the new amendments that are in front of you are found in 1320 that is discussing these sewer provisions. The rest of it, as we went through page by page, and I think that once you see the changes that have been made, will be pretty close to being ready to provide a recommendation on that. And then also when you sat down today, there was a packet in front of you, and that's the public comment that was received up to today at 4:30 that we put together. And you'll notice that one of the, it seems pretty thick, the back comment is the code provisions that's been included as a public record. So as far as I'm aware, there's no actual changes in that you need to see that the citizen was requesting, and if I'm wrong, we can speak to that. But so the first five were the comments from the citizens that we received up to this point. All right, and with that, we have Mark Rigos, Public Works Director, and Brian Tucker, Public Works Project Manager, here to help field some of the more technical questions that you may have.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, did you want to start with the list, or did you want to?
I was just going to say that, yeah, my background, I probably combined 50 miles of public sewer and been involved in probably 100 septic drain field approvals, so I consider myself an expert in this area. I could talk all night about this stuff, so I'm not going to talk about this all night. I'll just answer questions.
Thank you.
Did you want to begin with some of the questions?
Well, I think that we all have that in the packet that we received. The items that were referred, you indicated you could answer questions about them this evening. And some of them were very simple. We were talking about landscaping, and you clearly don't want to plant a tree or any sort of, whether it's a drain field or... Am I doing the talking too quietly?
That's perfect. This is a little
all right. No, sometimes I do that. I have to remind myself to project across the room. But I think the ones that were really specific is related to questions about if we can quantify the impacts of allowing the one-offs. Just so that we have that information, I think it's important for us to understand what that means to the overall city.
So, on that question, what I would say is there will be, with if this code gets approved for OSS, on-site septic systems, we'll see a quick little bump of development activity for people that live on vacant lots that all of a sudden can build their homes. Can't get approval from King County Health Department for an on-site septic. But these on-site septic systems take up a lot of room on the property, so you really need to own about a quarter of an acre, a third of an acre, to get a 3 or 4 bedroom home for a septic drain field to be approved on it. North Bend has many constraints for septic drain fields that the average person is just not aware of. We have a high groundwater table, and you need to have 36 inches of ground between the top of the soil surface and the seasonal high groundwater table that fluctuates, and so a lot of these septic drain fields will have to undergo what's called winter season monitoring, where these test pits are open, and the septic designer and inspector are out there every week seeing if this property can support a septic drain field. Getting back to your question about the financial impacts, as these new septic systems come online, and they do cost, they're not cheap, they're about $25,000, $30,000. It's more expensive to build a brand new septic system than it is to connect to public sewer. But it creates a situation where you won't have as much density, for good or for bad, so all of a sudden your neighborhoods will have, you know, 2 homes per acre, 1 home per acre, 3 homes per acre. But with public sewer, it's whatever the zoning allows. I mean, you can
your septic drain field area is your constraint because there's requirements for setbacks from property lines. So the edge of the drain field has to be 20 feet from a home, 10 feet from a property line, 100 feet from a stream, 100 feet from a wetland. So there's all these, all of a sudden you realize you own this vacant property and you can't get approval from King County Health Department. So the City of North Bend staff would rely on King County Health Department located in Eastgate to ensure that this isn't going to adversely impact public health, putting all these drain fields out there. We don't have the qualified staff at North Bend, so we would rely on that.
If I can redirect on one thing, a lot of the areas that we're talking about are also in the special flood hazard area. Mm-hmm. So are they, they're not using drain fields per se in the old sense with those anymore.
So we,
is that correct?
Yeah, we actually have a floodplain map here, and so mm-hmm. the areas that you see in that salmon color, the peach color, those are floodways, and mm-hmm. King County Health Department will not allow any septics in floodways. They are considering regulation of not allowing septics in floodplains. That would be very, very impactful to Silver Creek because all of Silver Creek's in the 100-year floodplain. Mm-hmm. But right now, they're still allowing them. A lot of them, if you have to do a mound system, which is a more expensive type of OSS, on-site septic system, you have to provide compensatory storage so you're not artificially raising the floodplain. So if you raise up this, create this mound system in your backyard, you have to excavate on the perimeters of your property. Well, so you're bringing a backhoe out there because there can't be a net increase in the fill. So no net fill is allowed for drain fields for any type of construction. And so we would regulate that in some type of grading calculation, grading permit provided by a civil engineer. So that adds to the cost, too, of putting in an on-site septic drain field in Silver Creek, which is entirely within the 100-year floodplain. We have other areas in this map that's really helpful that are outside the 100-year floodplain, but they don't have that issue.
And you've actually answered them all in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Went down the list, size of lots. And it does come back to King County Public Health.
Yep.
There's not a lot of, aside from allowing it, we don't have a lot of control over whether or not it would be approved. Is that correct?
So we would not issue a building permit until King County Health Department approves that septic drain field. So that would be a new requirement we would put at our community economic development. Don't issue that building permit until that septic's approved. So, yeah.
Just random comments, sort of. I mean, you mentioned the mound system. I'm familiar with Glendon. And it's perfect for soils that are terrible. You're basically creating it from scratch. The folks that I'm familiar with who've had it, their only complaint is the maintenance fees, which is, as the gentleman behind me mentioned earlier, there's a pumping service that's required to maintain it. But someone who had a 3/4-acre lot, and I think about the neighborhood, Wood River, right now, and we just worked out this circumstance, I think, what, 7 or 8 years ago now, where their system, they've got a grandfather arrangement for them to hook up for sewer. Eventually, many of them will, but until their systems fail, they're on septic, the same one they had 20 years ago. So I just think of the options that folks would like to have. Part of me thinks if we're going to start talking about this is how you connect to city sewer, we should spend similar energy to explain the alternative as opposed to just being the expert about how you do what we want you to do. We should offer some information so folks realize they do have a choice. And somebody may say, hey, you know, I could spend an extra $10,000 and not have a monthly bill to the city, and over 15 years, maybe I break even. Maybe somebody just says I sleep well at night because I'm not sending money to the city. However they think. That always comes to mind when we come in as a city and say, here, we got
Jim,
this infrastructure we want you to
join. Jim, I like your comments, but do you have a specific question for the staff?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Okay.
So one root of this whole thing is going to be the cost. And I noticed you used a $300 a foot number. I've seen that too. It has to do with everything related to utilities coming into a home. So I wonder if there's ever any breakdown between water and phone and cable and power and everything else that may be trenched in. If the 300 is all-inclusive, but because somebody's just dealing with sewer, the number's the same. That's the question for the number.
Sure. So if you're extending sewer and water, you actually have separate trenches because there's a 10-foot setback requirement. You don't want water and sewer crossing over each other right next to each other because water mains do leak and sewer mains do leak, and we have leaky water and sewer mains in our city. Leaky water mains, hey, we have to deal with them. We've got I&I issues. So I've been using that $300 a lineal foot for about 5 or 10 years, but I feel like it's close enough. It's more closer to $350 a lineal foot for sewer. One of our residents in town in Silver, near Silver Creek, got bids that ranged between, I don't know, it was like $60,000 and $120,000 to extend sewer about 250 feet or so, 8-inch PVC pipe, only about 8 or 10 feet deep, so nothing wild and crazy, and about 2 or 3 manholes. So every situation is different. If you have a deeper sewer line, it's going to be more expensive. More manholes are going to be more expensive. Water mains, I use $150 a lineal foot to extend. Dry utilities is shallow, 24 inches deep, so those are much cheaper to lay in those conduits. We had, just to give a little recap too, I thought it was a really great town hall meeting about a year ago. The mayor and I helped lead just to give Silver Creek and other people, other residents, no, actually this is for Silver Creek, the opportunity to have a choice if they were interested in a ULIT out for Silver Creek. And there's, I think, about 300 parcels or so and potential yield of about 500 lots. And we talked about costs, and I'm pretty comfortable with the number of $10 million to sewer all of Silver Creek. That's with the lift station and force main. I don't think I'm off by 25% in either direction on that. And so it turned out to some pretty significant numbers to everybody just got paid to build this sewer conveyance and collection system, a lift station, and a force main running all the sewer back. That's just the infrastructure construction. And you mentioned earlier there's the monthly fees that are, $70, $100. That depends on how much water you use. There's also the construction cost you have to pay from your home, the replumbing, to remove your drain field and to connect into this new stub line. That could be several $1,000 or more. Then we also have the general facility connection charge, which is $10,700 if you're not in a ULID that extended sewer out to exit 34. It's, if you're in that, it's $7,000, and that is to make upgrades treatment-wise and hydraulic at our wastewater treatment plant. So all these costs do add up, and all of a sudden you're like, well, a sewer may just cost as much as that on-site septic drain field. But the one benefit, for good or for bad, of having of being on public sewer is that if the zoning changes, you can put homes closer together, but with septic drain fields, you can't. You're going to have a neighborhood that has a more rural feel, and I think some of the city council do want that flavor right now to kind of keep some of that around, that rural feeling, less urban, less suburban. So big costs either way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mary? This has been really interesting, of course, and a lot of the questions you're answering for me as well. It seems to me that obviously we're going to see impact, financial impact. Every one of us who lives in downtown will feel that in some factor or momentum as growth keeps occurring. So, and I'm beginning to see more clearly from your explanations and your conversation as well that there's benefits in a way to either. So we have to come to a conclusion at some point, probably not tonight, of course, I don't know, but I don't suspect so, that we can move forward with this. And it's not something that can be taken lightly. And here's the deal, is that it needs to be very thought-provoked going forward. This is the future that we're looking at, and we need to take time with making this decision really, really well in calculating it. So, yeah, I don't have a specific question because you tipped on one. I see the impact overall, and I really appreciate you all being here tonight, too. And thank you all as well for coming.
Scott?
We're not talking about specific questions within the literature. Okay, so kind of a general question. I'm just having trouble with the new packet, and like, I think this is like an older version or something than what we got. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's kind of confusing, I guess, a little bit.
What are you comparing right now?
Well, what we got, this is right. Our latest packet, and then what is on the table? What is on the table, I believe, is older.
Right, so that was the public comment that was provided, and it was including the code as it was at that time, and that's okay. One of the older versions that okay. I hadn't seen some of the updates that we have now.
So some of the public comment wasn't on what
correct.
Okay.
Yep. So we made, after the Planning Commission deliberation, and then the staff looked at it and discussed, and then there was additional amendments made to address some of the things that we talked about.
Okay. So my main question is, how did the city arrive at the 200 feet? Was it based on what I hear from public comment? Is that the standard that most cities use, or is there other methodology?
Yeah, and I think one of our audience members touched on it. The 200 feet is pretty common in King County. For once you're beyond 200 feet, it becomes pretty infeasible unless you've got a subdivision or a large commercial project for one home, because you know you're tearing up the road to get to the sewer, and then you have to repair that road. Crossing all over a bunch of utilities, so all of a sudden the costs just skyrocket. I've seen a couple cities I think are actually down to 100 feet, but I think generally it's 200 feet. But septics are allowed in more urbanized cities. City of Bellevue has several neighborhoods that allow septics, same with Kirkland, same with Redmond, same with Issaquah, and that's new septics. So this is not, I think North Bend was a little different than most that said no new septics. Than many of the other cities in King County.
So when you talk about density, urban versus rural, and you talk about the lot size required for a septic system, what would happen if it was a 100-foot requirement instead of 200 feet? When you're talking about smaller lots anyway, and they're going to be narrower and closer together.
I think it only relates to the lot properties that are near the public sewer line. It might entice a few more people to want to extend public sewer if they can. And what it could do is if you brought it down to 100 feet, then all of a sudden somebody could say that it's on 2/3 of an acre and the zoning's R4. They could say, okay, I'm willing to pay $50,000 to extend an 8-inch diameter PVC, add 2 manholes so I can short plat my property. Because with this new regulation, well, for public sewer, so they could get 2 homes. And so all of a sudden you're spreading those costs out over 2 lots instead of just 1. And so if they extend to their farthest property line, the next guy says, oh, that sewer's right there. I'm within 100 feet away. So it can slowly start to build out public sewer. Possibly if you reduce it down to 100 feet, it's hard to say. It's hard to say how people. It's property owners that are really close by the existing sewer lines. It's hard to know how they'll act.
Yeah. So, was it correct in your statement that you were saying that the cost should be comparable to hooking up to sewer as it would be to create your own OSS? Are you looking for that compatibility? Or,
there's so many variables at play. The ULID that I talked about for Silver Creek was somewhere around all-in costs of, we based it on a special benefit district. So somebody that owns 2 acres, okay, and if the zoning's R4, they can get 8 lots in there. So they, with public sewer, so they got to pay 8 times that ULID cost, which I think was somewhere around $15,000. So 8 times $15,000, that's $120,000. We're talking about almost a small mortgage payment that just to build an offsite sewer line to get sewer to your property. And if you're on fixed income and you're paying off a $120,000 loan, let's say we could get low interest rate loans at 3%, I mean, it's still
$1,200 a month or $1,000 a month, and if you're not working, you know, if you're retired, that's a lot of money. Even though you're creating value in your property, so you're creating value in the future. So once you have that public sewer there, the equity of the value of your property is much, much more on public sewer than it is on septic drain fields. So in a way, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot by putting septic there, I think. But it kind of keeps that rural character out in that area, too. I was surprised when I came to North Bend a couple years ago to see there wasn't public sewer in Silver Creek, because I'm like, it's right practically downtown. That's half a mile away, there's no sewer. And I was surprised at that. But so we gave the opportunity, and I thought we were pretty clear on all the benefits of public sewer, bringing public sewer to Silver Creek. But from what I remember, when we did a poll, too, we had about 30% that were really in favor of public sewer. And we had about 30% that were on the fence, wanted more information, kind of liked the idea, kind of didn't like the idea. And then we had about 40% that were, you know, no way or not over my dead body. You know, thanks for bringing this to our attention, but we don't want to pay for this. We're happy living without it. And most of the reasons were cost, but some of them were density, too, because they knew that if public sewer does come, you know, you're going to see a lot more density out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what it will bring.
My last question, is there a project plan yet for the sewer plant updates?
Oh, yeah. We've got lots of projects planned for that. We have.
But is there a plan? So you have one. And yeah. Then my question is, at what date will it be completed?
I would probably say at the earliest 6 to 10 years. We've got a bunch of projects happening right now. So the first project, so we just submitted our sewer comprehensive plan to the Department of Ecology. It was our first sewer comp plan update in 15 years. Our 2001 sewer comp plan had vacuum systems everywhere all over the city. And those aren't done very, very often. They're really expensive to maintain. Since that time, we extended sewer $19 million out to exit 34. There's been a lot of changes. And so Department of Ecology is reviewing that. They're looking at our capital projects at the treatment plant that include two new clarifiers for about $500,000 gallons, include a much larger oxidation ditch, a new UV ultraviolet disinfection system, a new aerobic digester, all sorts of projects, and we just got approval from City Council, either last meeting or the previous meeting, to move forward on a design contract for a couple $100,000 with Tetra Tech to start working on these projects. Our UV disinfection building right now is cracked. It's a safety hazard for our employees, and it's in the floodplain. It's not floodproofed. And we need to create more capacity in the system and move a bunch of large pipes around. And so that's already starting in design. And if our consultant moves fast enough this year, we'll get underway in construction for that ultraviolet disinfection building probably in October. But if it looks like it's too close to the start of the wet season, we may say, let's hold off and wait till next year.
With all the projects for the sewer plant, is it better for everyone, the more that are on sewer system, because it lowers the cost for everybody that is paying right now? Or they share that cost of the updates? Is that what the...
That's a great question. And that's what one of the my predecessors, the public, Ron Guerra, who was here for about 10 years, before there was the ULID that went on to exit 32 and 34 that brought sewer 10 miles out, and there's all these new connections. And before we recently raised the rates, there was the concern of how do we pay for maintenance, upgrades, retrofits on this treatment plant. So there's economies of scale, like you said, to have more people connected to the treatment plant, because you can spread those costs out more. Less people connected, the costs go up. So there was definitely a support for having more people in the city of North Bend connected to the treatment plant for that reason.
Okay. Are there specific points in the city that have a high groundwater, I guess you would say, so that fall into this 3 foot, 4 foot section? Is there a map that we can see that kind of says that area? Because I didn't see one in our...
There hasn't been a map created, but the west side of the city has higher groundwater tables that are closer to the surface. As these creeks start to merge from Rattlesnake Hill, as the rivers start to merge, you see more wetlands around Tollgate Park, Meadowbrook Park. As you're driving down Bendigo and Bolt, you'll see water in the drainage ditches, even in the summertime. Well, that's the water table in many cases. But if you get up to exit 34, to Trucktown area, and a Wood River, the groundwater table's way is really deep. And at that point, the river, the Middle Fork, is 50 to 100 feet below ground topography. It's in a canyon in places as you get out towards Tanner Road. And so septics out there are not an issue from a groundwater table standpoint. But as you close in at Silver Creek, I think there's going to be some property owners that are surprised in a bad way that they can't get a septic drain field approved by King County Health Department. A septic designer will not approve it and say, hey, it's a public health hazard. And the health department will say, nope, we're not going to approve it. And they'll be like, really? No, I... So then... it's not considered a takings at that point either. If they cannot get a septic drain field and they can't connect to public sewer because of money, because it's too far away, they're kind of stuck. So then they need to come back to a U. That's where the ULID makes sense, is that the systems are watertight at that point. Back to your question on I&I, I think it's kind of that downtown area. A lot of the older homes, I believe, their downspouts in some of the businesses. In Forrester Woods, I've told too, not that old a development. Some of their footing drains and downspouts are connected in the sewer line. So we get these surges of at our treatment plant by a factor of 10 from summer to winter. So an average day in the summer will be about 500,000 gallons of flow per day comes into our treatment plant. We got hit not this winter, but the previous winter, a couple times around 4 million gallons per day. Wow. So that's about, you know, 8, 9 times. That's a big ratio. And City of Seattle, as probably you've heard, in Seattle Times, got hit really hard. And they have a combined, much of their City of Seattle is combined sewer and storm. And it's, I mean, for them to fix it, it's probably $100 billion, literally, to separate all these lines out. But they got, there's some other problems going on over there. But all this storm water is coming into your system, and in our case, it's groundwater. It's that I&I where the pipes aren't watertight. They're not connected to the manholes or those footing drains. And so we have, as part of our treatment plan, part of our rate study, an I&I program, an inflow of an I&I program to start mapping which properties and literally finding out where these problems are coming from and seeing if we can work with property owners to fix it so we can decrease these peak flows, which then can decrease the size of some of the facilities that we're planning on building in the next 6 to 10 years. So we're going to start that this summer.
Mark, I&I?
Yeah, inflow and infiltration. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. So that's where, you know, groundwater is coming into the pipes. Or it could be surface water, rainfall from downspouts and putting things.
Sorry, I thought of one more. The wells that North Bend has, how deep do you draw from?
So we have two drinking water sources. One is Centennial Well, and that was drilled about in the last 10 years, and that's out near public workshops. I think that's about 200 to 300 feet deep. And that, there's lots of water in there.
Yeah, that's down 216.
Okay. And then our other water source that's been around for a long time, 60, 70 years or so, is out at the base of Mount Si. It's in a protected area watershed, and the water that flows out of the toe of Mount Si, it's like the clearest water you've ever seen in your life. It's unbelievable. And so those are that one's very protected, and this one in town is a little more concerning because, you know, some of the cities, they have more protected water sources than we do. The City of Seattle, theirs is all in that watershed up there, either at Chester Morse Lake or at the Toll. And so one of our drinking sources is in town. So, but we test it every day and we chlorinate it. So
So my next question is, do you have any evidence of a septic system or other coliform, I think it's called, bacteria in those wells?
No, not that I've heard or seen, and we test them all the time. We've even checked out PFAS recently because of city visit loss concern. And so we had a special test on that because we're only testing for parts per million for contaminants. And PFAS, it's tested for parts per billion. So it's in really small quantities, and we didn't have any. So that was really good news for our guys. That made my day.
Looking at Department of Ecology reports, that report on the bacteria in the rivers, what would explain coliform bacteria above the waste treatment plant in the South Fork? What would be a reason for that?
Deer, animals. You know, that's usually where you'll find your E. coli and coliforms. And, you know, there is quite a few homes. There's 100, 200 homes in the Riverview neighborhood on the South Fork that are upstream of the treatment plant. And there's no public sewer there. They're all on septic. And that community was built, I think, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So there's going to be some, you know, older septic drain fields there. I have no idea how well they're working, you know, how well they're being maintained, how often they're being inspected. I don't know.
Okay. Is there a requirement, as we heard, on people who live in King County to service their septic systems on a biannual or every 3 or 4 years that you know of?
I think on older systems, I don't think there is. On newer systems, I heard they were trying to go to some type of covenant on the tile or something like that to require. But I don't follow it super closely. I think it's possible to bring up what one of the residents said, that we could tie a building permit in some manner to, before we issue the building permit, that you'll covenant that you would, against the title, that you'll maintain your drain field or pump your tank every 3 years or something like that. We might legally be able to do that, but I think the issue would be any existing drain fields. That's where I think legally we're not going to be able to, even if they're City of North Bend residents, and they had an approved septic at some point in time in the last 60 years, I think it'd be hard for the city to come in legally and say, oh, we're going to send somebody out there and you know, and check this thing out. I think we'd have a hard time doing that. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Commission, for allowing me to go through that. Anybody have any final questions?
What are the odds that a failed septic system's coliform, other bacteria, etc., would ever reach the wellhead for drinking water, 300 feet plus deep?
Well, you'd have to look at, so we've got this handy map here, and we have several areas. So look at the red is kind of where the septics are, and we have the LaForest Drive neighborhood. That's, there's about 10 homes that are on septic there, and they're fairly close to our, to one of our wells. But I think those homes were probably built in the 80s or 90s, and they're fairly large lots. And I have not heard that any drain fields are failing back there, but it's fairly close to our well. So I would probably be most concerned about those. Silver Creek, that area is draining towards creeks and streams that go to the South Fork. Our other drinking water sources on the opposite side of the Middle Fork River. It's about a mile and a half northeast of Silver Creek. So that thing is protected. There's not any issues with that. So I think we're pretty well protected.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about. It's like if you're a homeowner and you realize that you're kind of being persuaded or otherwise to put in either a sewer connection or replace your existing sewer, your septic on your property, and the logic to do it is to protect drinking water when the water source is 300 feet below the ground surface. I'm trying to get a handle on, when people come up to us and ask these questions, what are the odds? To me, it sounds like it's incredibly remote, like off the charts remote.
I would agree. I think that, you know, and the soils have a way of filtering out the pollutants themselves to 300
feet of pressure, for example.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the rivers are different.
Right.
But the drinking source, I think we're pretty safe there. We do have some permitted well heads that have not been constructed that Department of Ecology has approved, and those are kind of somewhat bizarrely in downtown and other places, but who knows if we would ever connect to these. And I'd rather buy water from SPU, I think, and pipe it down the hill or use our mitigation source or somewhere else rather than, you know, having well heads right in downtown areas. It doesn't seem real smart to me. So
I realize we're deferring to King County for guidance, but if we were trying to answer the question to the consumer out there, the person who owns the property is being impacted by this, how do we explain they may have a failed system or a marginal system? How do we explain that why they're having to do what they're having to do?
In terms of maintenance or in terms of...
Well, just, I mean, the definition of failed septic, I mean, there's a lot of different definitions, I'm sure. Some of the information I'm aware of has to do with the actual percolating soils that have gotten either filled with everything from eggshells to coffee grinds to whatever over time, and they're no longer perking. It could be the tank itself has failed. So there's all kinds of, I guess, technical stuff I don't want to get into with you, but I'm just trying to get a handle on what we as a city are saying to the folks out there that we're trying to look out for.
Yeah.
We're going to defer to King County, and you got to write a check for $30,000. That seems like a cop-out to me.
Yeah, that's a bit of a gray area because there could be many just portions of the septic system that are failing. I would be concerned if you know, they're immediately next to a creek and their system is failing and their septic tank is burbling up, you know, 10 feet away from a drainage ditch in a creek. I'd be more concerned about that than a 2-acre property that's not near any water courses and, you know, a portion of the system is failing. So I think it's kind of a case-by-case basis. So, but yeah, King County Health Department would be regulating that, would not be City of North Bend.
And one provision we did add after our last Planning Commission meeting, Jim, was that it is under 1320.020F, and it's regular maintenance permitted. Nothing in this chapter shall be construed to prevent or condition the regular maintenance and upkeep of a functioning OSS in accordance with applicable King County health regulations. So, and that was per comments made from this Planning Commission, that we wanted to make sure that we were not prohibiting anyone from being able to repair and maintain their OSS. So we do talk about the failing, and the failing OSS would be upon the city's receipt of a letter from King County. But if it's something that can be repaired, regular maintenance that needs to be done, that is allowed.
And back allowed based on King County's guidelines.
Correct. And yes, that's where we are going back to King County.
Okay.
I think the codes we're trying to get more flexible here to allow them to make those repairs.
Yeah.
Assuming they can be made on their property.
So I'll just throw this out, maybe a comment, maybe a question. To me, we're the city and our regulations are getting created, but we're deferring to King County to tell us what to do with the regulations that we just created, in a way. So I'm partly thinking if we were able to add some language in our requirements around sewer connections that said if you have a system that's failed by the county's definition, then these are the costs associated with you hooking up to sewer. If you elect to hook up to sewer without having a failed system, these are your costs. Because that's the difference between a homeowner and a developer. I don't know if that's in the conversation we've had so far, but because the rub is coming from an individual homeowner who's got all of a sudden, because of the water table change, because of neighbors uphill that did some development, they've got more water down on their property, or something's happened to their system over time. And all the while, King County, this outside entity, has rules changed. Now they really don't have a house they can live in because their septic's failed. As the city, we could take care of our folks who live here, come up with some way that helps them but also addresses the growth and the development process by having a slightly different fee structure related to hooking to sewer. I'll just put it out there.
This is where some of my comments were, but I don't know if you mentioned we're not going to talk about that right now.
Yeah. Or so
he didn't have a chance to shut me down.
Just stop
thank you for introducing that.
That will be great for our. Seven. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, any more questions? Okay. Where's my thing? So I'm ready if somebody would like to entertain a motion to approve the sewer and water amendments, North Bend Municipal Code Title 13. Do I have a motion? Motion to approve the sewer and water amendments for North Bend Municipal Code Title 13 to liberate Title 13, period. So do I have a motion? So in order to start debate, Robert's Rules requires you make a motion and have a second.
Second.
First does the motion.
So moved.
We have a motion by Commissioner Gildersleeve. Do I have a second?
Second.
And a second by Commissioner Heller. So we can now start discussing. Does anybody have a motion or comment in the water section? That is our first set. I'd just like to thank the staff for page 2, where you correct or spelled out whether it was calendar or business days. So now we know not to allow ourselves weekend off.
Thank you for the suggestion.
So does anybody have anything else in the water section?
Okay. So we're still under 13, you're saying, correct?
Yes.
Well, I've got a question on 13.12.050.
Okay.
I could be just reading this and not picking it up, but I immediately read the section and think, what about an ADU? What about the same piece of property that's 3/4 acre that we would allow an accessory dwelling unit, which is detached? Are we going to make them hook to sewer?
So are you saying, for instance, if you had a greenhouse and you wanted to irrigate it,
no,
would that be?
No, an accessory dwelling unit. Grandma moves on the property.
So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we did touch on this hypothetical, which is very possible to happen. And if there is public sewer there, then within 200 feet, then I believe they would have to connect. Is that right?
Well, this question he's asking is specific to water right
now.
Oh,
water. Okay.
Well,
when
you're
all tied together,
there
right,
is
so.
A more specific one. But if there is an accessory dwelling unit in the back and there is the room to put a water, a separate water meter, I believe is what Jim's asking. Does that accessory dwelling unit need to have a separate water meter?
No, I don't think so.
And then the same questions related to sewer.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm looking at.
It's do you want to hit touch on the sewer when we get there? Because there is a provision discussing
that. That's fine. Yep. This one caused me to think about an ADU.
Yeah, no, that's a great question.
Thank you. Anything else under the water section?
Hang on with me, Gary. Just one second.
Yep.
So 13.12.120, all persons desiring extension of water mains maintained by the city shall be charged with actual cost of materials, labor, equipment. So when I read that, my instinct as an owner would be, can I do it myself and get proper permitting along the way, or am I just going to have to pay the fee the city says I have to pay?
So people extend water mains, and so they would design it, and they would construct it. Let's see, this kind of wording is kind of bizarre to me, but all persons desiring extensions charge the actual cost. So there's two ways you can extend a water main. It can be borne by the private property owner where they design it and construct it, right? So we're just reviewing the plans and inspecting it. Or they can make a petition for a ULID, a utility local improvement district, where all of a sudden then the city does the work, and so we design it, we review it, we go low bid contractor and then inspect the work. And so I think
I'm thinking Bob and Sally Smith's house. That's where I'm thinking. If they're building their own home.
Mm-hmm. So that's not going to be a water main extension like this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A water service line.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Main versus meter is probably where my head is going.
Yeah, just so main line would be 8-inch diameter, ductile iron and bigger.
But in general, if someone wants to install their own utility infrastructure, they're not always going to have the city do it on their behalf.
No, usually they will do it on their own behalf.
Right.
Get a permit from us and hire their own contractor, and we'll review the plans and inspect it.
Okay. I've got one more, if I may. So I'm on 1312.135.
Okay.
And this is just, I can't quite decipher the way this is written. And councilman authorized the mayor to enter into contract with any water company, water association, water district, or water processor, division of water by the city. This is where I get confused. At a rate established by the taxes?
What? We just call it a taxes, rates, and fee schedule. That's just the title of the document. It's about a 20-page long document.
So that's a technical term.
Yeah, so we almost should probably capitalize taxes, rates, and fee schedule. So the T is capitalized, the R is capitalized, F is capitalized, and S is capitalized, so it flows better. It's a specific document.
Mr. Chair, so moved?
Yes. I trust the staff to do that.
Because, yeah, otherwise it does read kind of poorly.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Commission on page 10, 13.12.220, forbidding the use of irrigation or sprinkling. First line after forbidding the use of, I would like to consider inserting city in front of water.
I'm sorry, Gary, where was that?
13.12.220, forbidding use for irrigation or sprinkling. If I have my own rain barrel or other method of collecting water, I want it to be clear that I could use that for irrigation in a shortage.
Doesn't the county preclude us from doing that right now? Don't they not allow rain barrel?
I have no knowledge.
Where am I thinking of that?
No, they actually allow, it's called rainwater harvesting, so it's a flow control best management practice that King County will allow your downspouts to connect to a barrel, an underground tank, and then you can put a little pump on it and then irrigate your garden in the summertime. So I've been involved in the design of several, and they're not cheap, but they do probably, maybe there's a 20-year payback. I don't know, maybe it's a 10-year payback. It's a lot of upfront costs, but you may save money on your water bill later.
Self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm. Any objection, or you want a motion? We're good.
Fuck it all.
So insert the word city in front of water on the first line, forbidding the use of city water for irrigation. Mm-hmm. Anything else in the water section? Okay. Moving on to Chapter 13.20, Sewer Regulations. Who would like to begin? Commissioner Heller, you had a question earlier?
Mine's a little further along, so.
Right. Anybody have anything for 17, 18, or 19?
You're on a page count now. So what did you say?
17, 18, or 19. Question for staff on page 19, King County regulations adopted. Adopts the King County Board of Health codes and all of the applicable health standards of the King County Health Department. My question is it the Health Department or Environmental Health Services on that second line?
It's considered King County Health Department.
Is it? Okay. I just know that's where I go for sewer or septic information. Page 20.
I had a question.
Yes.
On existing structures B, then there's 1B. I think this covers it probably. If the septic is large enough, then basically you can kind of build a little bit, a small expansion or something. And I think before we had like a 40% threshold in there. And so does, like if the existing septic is appropriate, then the end of that 40% threshold isn't really needed because it's going to fall back on the size of the septic anyway.
Correct, yeah.
Just a clarification.
And Jim, look at exceptions one for new construction, A1B is one of the portions where we refer to accessory dwelling units. Mm-hmm. And then when we go to the table, it refers to it some more. So if you want to look through that and see if you have any questions once you see how they are. So basically, it can, if it's treated the same way as a home. So if it's greater than 200 feet from existing sewer, you can use an OS, an on-site septic system. If you have an existing home with an existing septic and it has capacity to treat the ADU, a new one, you can hook up to your existing septic. So there is some flexibility there with what you can do with an ADU.
We'd still require King County Health Department approval from the septic design that says that system has capacity for the ADU, because the ADU will have fixtures and, you know, back in the bedroom and stuff that will help you
study.
Okay. I don't know where a good time to say this, but this whole ADU topic, mm-hmm. I think you'll agree with me, Mark, that if somebody has a 10-year-old home, and they go to King County with their existing septic system, the county can say, you can't add anything to that. I'm sorry, you're done, because the code's changed. So it's kind of a moot point for us to say, if you'd like an ADU permitted in our area, but you're going to have to end up, it won't work because the septic's not going to work.
Could be that they may be able to expand that septic drain field on the property to accommodate that ADU. Maybe they just need to increase the size of the tank or put another line in there. So we're giving that flexibility, I believe, to allow for that. So there's a bunch of properties in the area that, not a bunch, but some properties in mm-hmm. Old Sideview that are large enough lots that could have a tucked in accessory dwelling unit in the back, and the drain field's 25 mm-hmm. years old, but there's enough room on the property and the groundwater table's not that close to the surface where they could get that approval.
Cool.
So my question to the commission is, 200 feet, standard for most cities. Do we want to have that cost be something of more of a carrot where there's encouragement to get on sewer system, or is it just such a high cost that it becomes more of a debate of the feasibility of such a thing? So
I say that as a question.
Should we consider lowering the 200 feet, because if we want people to actually get on sewer, we should make the cost comparable to a septic. And if you have to pay $60,000 to run 200 feet of pipe, then how is that going to be comparable? I would pick septic, you know, and I don't have a monthly fee. So my question to you is, should we consider that 200 feet distance?
So I had a note earlier that I didn't continue.
Okay.
And it had to do with 50 feet of incentive. If you think about 200 feet on most home sites, in a neighborhood, 200 feet's getting to their backyard pretty consistently. 50 feet gets past the driveway to the foundation, probably the frontage, in a traditional neighborhood, if I can call it that. So for me, it's we could do the most good with some incentive built around the first hurdle, which is, hey, we're going to hook up to your sewer line, which is probably in the backyard. It's where septic probably works. 200 feet, that number starts to work when you're really redeveloping. Mm-hmm. It's too far for us to be thinking about, because that's going to be somebody's decision unrelated to the sewer. It's a development question. So I could see clearly coming up with some short distance. Hey, look, if you do it now, in the next 5 years, the first 50 feet is X amount versus what it really is. that might get a lot of folks in maybe any given neighborhood to step in.
Any other comment, thoughts?
Comment that, it's really expensive to hook up to sewer. I'd have to, what your question or recommendation would be specifically, but in general, I agree. I mean, it's astronomical compared to septic.
Yeah. I like what Jim had to say, is there's a difference whether you're developing a plot or if you're an individual homeowner, and should it be the same? And, should we have that barrier? So you were talking about a 50-foot incentive?
I mean, the first 50 feet covers everybody, but maybe not if their house is set back, 200 feet plus their 50-foot depth. They may have a big, long lot or a long driveway or whatever their situation is. But for the most part, I think the first 50 feet will get them pretty close. And that's enough to get folks who were thinking about it to say, hey, if there's an incentive in works right now and I'm going to have to do it anyway in the next 10 years or 5 years, they might pull the trigger. And you'd get a large percentage of people in any given neighborhood to say, all right, this makes sense.
Okay. So I want to hold you right there and just ask staff this question. If you have a homeowner that says, well, I'd like to get on sewer and I'll pay for that 100 feet, what would it take for the city to come the other 100 feet? And is that something that we could entertain?
It's hard because we also have to be careful with a gift of public funds, too, so then the rest of the city is putting in their money, their sewer fees are going towards that 100 feet. It could be incentive. One thing about if people near the sewer, so if they're 200 feet away and extend that line, as I mentioned earlier, somebody else, if they extended 100 feet, the next person might extend it 100 feet, the next person might extend it 100. So it slowly builds out. And then in 25 years, when a lot of people realize, geez, I just can't get health department approval on this lot, the groundwater table is too close to surface, the only way I can make it is to get a ULIP, so there's sewer in the public sewer in the whole area. Well, those properties that have connected in are no longer part of the ULIP, and they don't have to pay that cost because they're already connected to the city system. So then it kind of shrinks that area, but the cost may still be the same. I don't know if there's a great answer here, whether it's 100 feet or 200 feet, but I just know that we also have to be careful of a gift of public funds. If somebody says, well, I'll put in 100 feet and and they get a bid for 50 grand, and they say, hey, city, we want you to pay half this, we want you to pay 25 grand, it's not that easy to do that. We've also got, when the city does a project, we have to pay prevailing wages, which is much more expensive than hiring a private contractor. It's a totally different deal. So kind of mixing and matching this could kind of overcomplicate this. So I don't know.
So forgive me if I've been misunderstanding the 200-foot conversation. I imagined the distance between the street and the hookup point, not the frontage of the property.
It's the frontage that's the closest point on any property to the sewer line itself is that 200 feet. So if you had a home that was 100 feet into your lot, that doesn't count that 100 feet. So that's actually would be 300 feet or something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it comes to.
Yeah, that's a totally different sort of scratch what I said about the 50 foot, because it doesn't really, if you're talking about a neighborhood and you have, even 50% of them saying, sure, let's do it, the other 50% aren't going to go for it because it's a ridiculous amount of money for them. They don't need it.
I'll just add, too, that there's a pretty decent chance that public sewer may be coming to Silver Creek down 6th Street to E.J. Roberts Park. There's a vacant 5 acres there, and it's about a quarter of a mile to the nearest public sewer, so about 1,400 feet. And so I used my $300 a little foot. That's about $420,000 to bring sewer down there. And they have to cross a couple culverts and probably lower some box culverts. We have several tributaries of Silver Creek. And this developer is seriously interested in doing this. And we can gravity it. It's still at a slope that meets the Department of Ecology Code. It's really flat in that area, but it's about 0.3%. We can run a sewer line. It's allowed. And then what they can do as part of their project is provide sewer stubs to each individual property, and we would work with them to create what's called a latecomer agreement, so that anybody that wants to connect into the sewer line that they pony up that $450,000 or $500,000 for, is that developer gets reimbursed for every connection that comes in. And so if each connection is worth $15,000, then that person would have to pay $15,000. We'd issue the permit. They'd replumb their house and they could connect into that sewer line. So there is a way that 6th Street and Silver Creek can be sewered, and I think it can go all the way out to Pickett, too. So, but once you get to 8th, 10th, and 12th, then all of a sudden you're too low, and it requires a lift station, which are about $1 million, with pumps and backup power and odor control, etc., to get that sewer to lift it up and then send it back to our treatment plant. So 8th, 10th, and 12th could be kind of out of luck here. But 6th Street, potential for public sewer here in the near future, next few years, very possible.
Ms. Gildersleeve.
With a redirect to this question of coming up with some way to help with the cost, are there... And realizing that you may not have this information that's out there, are there any organizations out there that do grants to help with things like putting sewer in areas that are sensitive areas, like the special flood hazard area, in the interest of the public, that might be a possibility for some of these areas?
So there, yes, there are some out there. I started looking into not a sensitive area, but a lower income area that we could get some grant support for the construction of the ULIT or the public sewer system.
Mm-hmm.
And City of North Bend in entirety didn't qualify. I think the median wage was somewhere around $80,000 or $90,000 per home. And so that put us way over. But we thought it was possible that Silver Creek, because of all the higher percentage of retired people, fixed income, that maybe that wage would be quite a bit less. And so I received a proposal from a consultant to do that study, and it was around $10,000 to, you know, do an income verification and door knocking and letters, etc. And that was a few months ago, and I just said, there's no guarantees of, even if we could get a couple $1 million from Department of Ecology, and if I believe that the cost is $10 million, which I'm pretty comfortable it is, plus or minus 25%, I'm hearing the most we could get grant from Department of Ecology would be about a couple $1 million. It's still pretty expensive for people. Some people would be more interested in, as the costs go down. I'm not aware of any grants for septic drain fields on private properties for new ones that I know about, I could find out. I know people that would know, but I don't think.
Or that would address helping with the cost of bringing in sewer in the interest of those contained systems.
Yeah, I think there's definitely the potential to do that. I think there's grants out there, but I don't know how much, and I just haven't. I'll be honest, I haven't had it. As much time as I would like in the last couple months to study it. Could study it more. We're cranking away on a lot of just other priorities happen in the city. A lot of capital projects happen, a lot of private development coming in. So I haven't focused on it, just other priorities from the mayor and so forth.
Is there any data regarding a need in Silver Creek? Do we know 5 have failed in the last 5 years or anything like that?
No, it's. I hear rumors that there's failed drain fields, but I don't. I can't get on private properties, and
neighbors will talk if there really is one.
And it's he said, she said, and it's like I don't have a staff to do that either. It's like we're focusing on.
I guess what I'm getting to is, are we spending time, even if it's 10 minutes, talking about a neighborhood that doesn't need it? That's why I'm getting to the question.
I understand the water table conversation. Mm-hmm. All of those homes, I understand the odds, but if everybody's happy and they're all working, I can't rationalize spending a ton of time talking them into getting on sewer.
That's kind of where we're at, Southwest, is we just haven't prioritized that.
Okay.
We're prioritizing many other things in my department than trying to get people on Silver Creek to sewer.
Sure.
It's, unfortunately, some people don't like to hear that, but that's just what's been happening. And so I think some of this is kind of coming up because of that. It's like, hey, maybe we need to be a little bit more flexible here. You know, all these other cities are allowing it in King County. Why aren't we? And so I've kind of had that conversation with several people. And so I think that's why this will be supported at the council level.
So back to your thought, should there be a difference between an individual versus a developer?
The goals are totally different. Arguably, the homeowner wants to stay put, mm-hmm. not have a ridiculous expense. And the developer is entrepreneurial and thinking ahead and helping us build the city. So, yeah, I think there should be a difference. I'm not going to talk about specific costs because that's kind of a hard conversation, but there should be a definite difference in our focus and approach to the situation.
So in this section, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So septics are allowed for one-offs. So it's somewhere embedded in this new code. So a developer can't buy 2 acres and say, I'm going to short plat and get 4 drain fields here. So this is not allowing that change. And that's consistent, too, with Bellevue, Kirkland, and other cities that, hey, you got one tax parcel, it's 2 or 3 acres, you can build 1 drain field. We're not going to allow a subdivision here on 6 drain fields. Not happening. So that kind of takes care of itself in the developer, because the developer is profit-driven. The homeowner, like you said, is just kind of leave you alone, my drain field works.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I go back to you. If we have 200 feet, you know, as a developer, should that be the same thing for an individual? Or should we just...
If it's a choice, because they would just, they feel better at night if they're on sewer, okay, I don't see a reason to, the costs are the cost. But if their system has failed, and because the codes have changed, they no longer can do what they did when they first built their house, that's when there should be some flexibility in how we address helping them fix their problem. Just because the code changed for somebody living in the house seems to be reasonable that we ought to address that.
So that would fall under 13.20.020BC under failing OSS. Mm-hmm. So what would you be comfortable in the distance there to make it more of a equitable?
That's a really hard question, because wherever the sewer line is today, the place that needs it may be 6 houses away. I wonder if there's another approach for that circumstance. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you know, a failed system, I'm not looking at King County's requirements, and I don't like the fact that we're just deferring to somebody else. That bothers me. But assuming that we still do that, King County must have some accommodation versus abandonment.
The other cities defer to Bellevue, big cities, yeah. Bellevue, Kirkland, yeah. Issaquah, they defer to King County Health Department too. So
yeah.
They don't have their own soil scientists on staff.
So the question I'm hearing you ask is, what does King County do if it is not possible to get sewer to your lot and your OSS fails and you
yep.
cannot rebuild it on site per code today? What would King County do?
Right.
Well, I know that Vashon Island, I don't think there's any public sewer there. I don't think they're on salt septic drain fields. And they have some older tanks that are right on the water. And, you know, you got orcas and Chinook salmon and everything else. I think there's an agreement between those property owners and King County Health Department that they get their tanks pumped once every 3 months or 6 months. It's just a tank. So there's nowhere else for it to go. So that's kind of a last resort option for somebody where literally, I mean, you could dig build a bigger concrete box to hold all the sewer and take really short showers type thing so I mean, that's kind of a last resort.
Yeah. Mark, yeah. Just to follow up on your question. If you have a big enough lot and you have a drain field and your drain field is what the problem is, that your system can't drain itself out, can't you just dig that out and rebuild your drain field?
Possibly, if the soils are supportive, are good enough to do that, yeah.
Well, you would
bring in the proper soils? Possibly, if there's some special ultraviolet systems and a few other Glendon special systems where you can do that. But yeah, you still need to help the septic designer, and you still need it approved by the county health department.
Sure.
And then great, yeah. That's,
yeah, I just think that gives that flexibility, so I'm not sure.
Well, that septic design before installation, permitting, et cetera, is probably pushing $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no win here.
No.
And I guess the thing, I'm coming back to the same thing, whether we use it as a way to help folks who are having an issue, or we say for the next 5 years while we start dialing in who's going to be hooked up and who's not, there's an incentive out there that says, hey, for the first 50 feet or the first whatever the number is, it's going to be a percentage of what it really would cost, step up or not. And some of those folks that have three neighbors around them, bringing the sewer line down the street, they might say, hey, you know, and then we can actually get a permit to build the ADU, and we can do the other things we want to do in the lot, and that might actually force it to be brought down the street past houses that don't need it. So the incentive piece to me is more valuable as a way to get the conversation started.
Okay. So question from that. When we're running a sewer line in an area, do you notify all the homeowners that are close to there so they can opt in to get that line? Is there any notice that's sent out that you're...
So
if you're taking this one project on 6th Street, for example, and this is a developer who wants to build this and do this project, then all those homes in between that point A and B, do they get notice and offers?
We would notify them for certain of a project like that, just to give them a heads up that this system is being professionally engineered and it's going to be constructed in the next couple of years, and would you like a sewer stub provided off this main line? And so just so they can start thinking that if their drain field's about to fail in the next year or so, well, let's just baby this thing along a little bit. Once that sewer stub's there, I'm connecting into it. So, yeah, we definitely would get the word out to those property owners for sure.
So that is not part of our document, right? Is that ability... You know, so if we have a failing system, that's one way you can get on is when it's being run by you. But we just kind of talk in here about if you fail, you have to hook up. So are you thinking that there should be a change?
I think failure, to the degree we're talking about, is probably pretty extreme and rare. But, I mean, it does, it's the question. It's like if the sewer line is 600 feet away from the property owner who's been through King County and said they've all said no to everything, and their only option is to either pump it every week or move out, I that's one of those you cross when you get to it, I think.
Well, they also have the option of talking to their neighbors and getting it run, right?
Yeah. But if something comes into the code that says if you're willing to do it in the next X period of time, there's incentive for the first 50 feet or the first 75 feet or the first 200 feet. Now, all of a sudden, that makes sense for them to get together and pull that off. That's where I'm coming through with this. Because it's expensive. We know that. They're going to figure that out and be frustrated by it. We can set it up so that it's not so much of a hardship.
So, you commented...
I can bring that, if your commission wants that, I can bring that in front of our Transportation and Public Works Committee is some type of incentive to pay 33% or some portion with it and sunset it in 5 years so that it gets people off the dime if they have. Because if there's a deadline, if there's a time, then people will be like, yeah, I got to do this here. Whereas if you just leave it open, well, nothing happens. But maybe the city could pony up for a small portion don't know, I can't promise anything with that committee, but, you know, if it helps so that we don't have failing, nobody wants failing drain fields in their city. Mm-hmm. That's what we don't want. So then there's less public health concerns.
On the other side, back to the city point, so these neighborhoods who are also having issues with septic, perhaps, and are aging, their redevelopment prospects are slimmer because the redevelopment of the house to something new and updated, maybe larger, is going to run into the same conversation around septic approvals. So whatever we can do to let folks make their own decision to help them get to the place that's best, it probably helps the city grow properly as well.
And I would probably make a recommendation to have it be a private driven project. We still get to review the plans, we still inspect the construction, but it's not a prevailing wage project. So that's right. When the fees go way up, the labor costs by the contractors. Yeah. The contractors love, the workers love the prevailing wage jobs.
You got people driving from Stanwood, right? You got people driving from Stanwood.
Well, those are, we got a consultant who's driving from PhD. But it's I mean, we still low bid. We still bid out these projects, so it's still a little bit. But it adds up.
So, Mark, I heard you correctly. There is nothing like the transportation improvement benefit or whatever that was called.
Transportation improvement program, the six-year TIP?
No, the benefit district.
Transportation benefit district?
Yeah.
No, we don't have anything like that.
For sewer.
You know, that was created through a sales tax. So that's a revenue we like because it's mostly other people's money. Whereas property tax is your money. It's out, you know, it's people that live here. So so that sunsets that transportation benefit district, I think, in about 5 years or so. And that raised the sales tax, I believe, around 0.1 or 0.2%. I think our sales tax is 8.9% right now. And other cities in King County, it's as low, I think, as 8.6%. But it goes up to 9.9%. We're a little lower on the sales tax than some of the other cities in the area. So.
I appreciate that information. A town of 6,500 people can swell to 15,000-20,000 every weekend with our tourists. So, in the interest of keeping all our waters clean, would it be wise to create some kind of a sewer benefit district and add that same 1.1 sales tax to help fund the sewer to all these other areas?
Well, we just did a pretty large sewer increase.
But that pays more the plant, right? And
yeah. So I just have to be able to tie the two together to say, hey, are they so sales tax is somebody buying goods at the outlet mall. So are they burdening our sewer system?
Do we have sewer to the outlet mall?
We do have sewer to the outlet mall.
Do we have sewer to our restaurants?
So,
where do you know the porta potties? I don't know where they empty out.
I can certainly, if this commission wants it, I can bring it up with our council committee and see if they want to create a sewer benefit district. And you know, the revenue could be a sales tax.
I don't want to prescribe it, but if we need to fund that carrot to help the failing OSS, or if you want to extend it to anyone who wants to hook up as an individual homeowner, that's up to the commission.
And the caution would be the Nike shoes in North Bend versus the Nike shoes in Bellevue. Get the taxes up, all of a sudden they just don't drive out anymore.
But you didn't have to pay for parking.
Good point.
There's the other thing.
No, that's it.
All right, so if there's no objection, I would like staff to look into that and let us know if that could be included in here, whether it be a five-year program to get on before the new system is fully finished.
So we'll call this a sewer benefit district idea.
Yes. And if that is a possibility, I guess the financial analysis would be how short of a distance could we make it, you know, to offset that financial burden? Could we give them 50 feet? Could we give them 100 feet of offset, right?
Yeah, or a percentage of the cost that would require that they provide three bids from a contractor, and there's a non-collusion affidavit, so these contractors aren't working together to drive up the cost of the project. So, you know, there would be some provisions in this thing. And like I said, I want this to be private-driven, probably not a prevailing wage public project. But there's probably a way to do this.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I don't know where this belongs either, but I made a note as I was reading through this. As much as we have the carrot and stick concept, too often municipalities are driving sticks, because by the time the consumer figures out what the rules are, it's a decision that was made 5 years ago. They don't remember, and all of a sudden they think they just hammer's coming down. One thing other than the additional assistance concept is education. Mm-hmm. And if we're really genuine about this and not having folks have trouble with their septic systems, it seems to me on our website or some other locations might provide the proper information about how to maintain the system that they have. That sends the right message, and it's the right thing to do if we're trying to make sure folks don't have to hook up to city sewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that pretty easily. We'll mail her out. Or we can just include it with the water bill, because they're going to be connected to water. So there's your recommendations, best management practices for your drain field. Mm-hmm. Let's have this thing last as long as possible. Here's what you can put in your toilets and sinks, and then what you don't. And here's how often you maintain.
Warning signs, I think, would be good too. If you're noticing these things, you will want to have somebody. Because they may be able to head off.
Like an alarm going off, you mean?
Yeah. Well, but no, there are other indications that may warn of potential failure, that if they get to it before it's too late.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many people move out here and buy a house and have no idea how to deal with septic? I think that would be a great service.
Yeah. I smell much in there.
When it gets that bad already, you're getting close to too late.
Would that include North Bend and Salal customers?
We can anybody inside city of North Bend, city limits. We're not going to go outside city limits for this.
So it's possible, like on Public Works, to also refer people to the King County Environmental page where they talk about this septic management, because that's really good. They've got a good video on that.
So it's kind of, concerning the King County requirements, like what is the failing letter, like a failing septic? What is that?
I've only seen a couple of those.
I've seen one. we have a family property in Silver Creek it's one of the older homes there, built in the 40s by my grandfather. And the septic system went probably about 15 years ago, I think. Yeah. And they had to put in a Glendon biofilter the first year that the design was out. And let me tell you, that thing is fun. And it is annual inspections, alarms that go off sometimes when you have no idea why it's going on. The alarm apparently fails in that model frequently. I've had it replaced a couple times.
You get this letter when, like, you cannot repair it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no hope for it. Yeah. I mean, I guess it is.
We can provide a list of approved septic designers in the area. There's actually one that lives and works in North Bend. Just put a list of them and say, here, contact different septic designers. There's experimental technology that comes out. I think King County Health Department's not quite as flexible as other county health departments in the state of Washington, but
because you're on paper file still.
Advanced to assess. But anything's better. Maybe there's, and again, I'm not a septic designer, but there's probably ways to work around it.
Right, and given the amount of special but hazard area that we have that has quite a bit of septic, maybe having something on that page that addresses that
there may be different requirements if you're looking at special flood hazard areas. And if you can link them specifically to a section in King County that talks about that. I think it can be unnecessarily confusing, or they don't even have any idea that, you know, you're going to have a requirement for a special system if you're in that, in one of those areas.
Yeah, I would put someone somewhere.
I guess for me, I see, you know, regular maintenance and upkeep is okay. But then I see if you get a letter saying it's failing, then you have to connect to the sewer. So that's like kind of two extremes almost. I see like regular maintenance probably would be pumping. I don't know what upkeep means, maybe the same thing. So then if there's any issue at all, then you have to hook up to the sewer or like...
I think that's the last resort. I would look at that as the last resort. I wouldn't come down with a hammer and say, connect into this public sewer system.
I guess, though, when you read it literally, it kind of reads like that. That's so, you know, we've had some conversation, we had a conversation kind of at the previous meeting where that was the same sentiment that you've just reflected. But when I read it, it just sounds like it goes right to full throttle, like you're going to be connecting to the public sewer. I mean, and this is concerning one that is within 200 feet.
Yeah. Right, so there is the table that says if you're within 200 feet, then you do have to connect.
Yeah.
But if you're greater than 200 feet and you have a failing OSS,
but it just means like repairing, I think. You know, I guess taking away that option where it is on the other one, if you're outside, like, basically you're not allowing someone to repair or replace their existing, is the way I read it.
When you say repair a failing OSS, is that something specific? Or can it be replace a failing versus repair?
Yeah, that would...
Because you're replacing your system versus repairing
a pump. So repairing would be fine, but replacing would... No, you got to connect to the public sewer if you're within 200 feet.
It's almost...
So maybe we need to make that language clear.
That was what Ms. Hyde was referencing before when she said that repairs were permitted.
Yeah.
If it was like a... Because what you're describing kind of maybe is like if it was a total decom and a rebuild, that's what you had to do, then I guess connection to public sewer required or something. But if it's a repair... and it may be a couple $1,000s, I don't know, but it's going to be cheaper than $60,000, yeah. And then monthly bills and everything. So yeah. I guess
the goal is properly working.
Yeah, just to kind of separate that language.
Yeah.
Repair, replace, I agree, are different.
Okay.
Whereas if your situation was full replacement, whereas repair could be, you know, something smaller.
So, Scott, are you referring to page 21, item BC? Where we're talking about failing at OSS?
It is in there, yeah, it's in the table as well.
Okay, so let's first on page 21, are you saying C, the third line from the bottom, failure to connect to a public sewer or repair a failing OSS? So how would we want to change our wording so it's consistent for replacement versus repair? And I see repair there. I'm not sure if it comes any earlier.
So, again, this is saying that if you are within 200 feet, if you go up to the in the middle, it says, let's see. You got to go right to the start to figure it out. So it's saying that if you get a letter from the King County Department of Health that says it's failing, an existing structure within the city limits is failing, the property owner shall be required to disconnect, abandon the OSS, and connect. But then it says, provided that if no existing sewer line exists within 200 feet of the property as measured along the public right-of-way and dedicated easements, the property owner shall be required to repair the failing OSS. So it is saying that so it comes down to the 200 foot.
Yeah, what if we just changed the words? Instead of saying failing OSS, we say failed OSS. Mm-hmm. That means it has to be. Whereas failing is kind of like, well, is it almost failing? Or is
it if you're going to say failing, then it's like, I would like to see the definition and the specifics of that. I guess if it's failed, it's like it's the difference between maybe broke and busted, you know? It's like you can repair one.
Right. So if we change that to failed OSS.
Is that a term that's commonly used, though, by King County Department of Health? Are you aware of that? I would want to be consistent with what they... if we look in to see what their term, if they do submit a letter, what does the letter say?
Exactly. If you could just do that, yeah. What is this letter you're referring to, and what does it take to? It sounds like it's an extreme situation, and just find out that if it is indeed a complete replacement, something like that. Okay. I mean, I still don't know if I agree with it because I feel like. I don't know why we have to be told that we have to be on the sewer, you know? I mean, I just don't really get that, like, but, I mean, I can understand if you want to limit it to new construction, maybe that's the choice or something that we have out there, but existing person, like, why would you force someone to go on city sewer if, you know? I mean, because what a homeowner would do would, what I would do, what probably a lot of people do, crunch the numbers, you know, and you look at it like that, and so why not allow the person to make that choice, unless it ties back to something with King County, and maybe it does, but if it doesn't...
Yeah, I can learn a little bit more about it, too, from their supervisor in terms of what they're doing in Vashon, are they requiring pumping, or if there is no options, there's 600, and that's what I think they do, is actually... bring out them. Those trucks, I mean, they don't, it's kind of nasty. It smells really bad when they bring out those trucks and they're pumping out the tanks. And, you know, that's not really what you want in your community.
Although King County is requiring that to happen every year for many people's homes, just as a matter of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But they don't have an option for a sewer on the island.
Well, no, I'm just, all this stuff is a cauldron here. It's like, okay, well, the idea of a failed system means you need to replace it, right? If it's totally failed. So is the replacement the Glendon system? Is the replacement to trench out the whole yard and replace the soils to put in another system? All of those things are going to get measured. And if somebody says, hey, I can hook up the sewer for $50,000 versus $48,000, let's do the sewer. I like the fact that we're talking about giving them the option and not creating language that says if you get a letter from this foreign entity that says your system doesn't work, that you've got to pay us $50,000, whatever the number is. So I'd say massage that somehow so that people can't interpret that this happens, then this happens. They need to figure that out with their own resources. And I throw one more in the basket of scenarios. Are you familiar with any bonds that other municipalities have passed related to something like this?
For septics or for public sewer?
Sewer. Sewer infrastructure.
No, but I can find out pretty easily. That's Coal Creek Park. Utility district in between Bellevue and Newcastle was, I think they tried one and it didn't go anywhere. I can find out, just not sure.
I just think there's a couple ways to bring it all together. And if ever you tell somebody that they need to hook up the sewer for the cost of half the value of the property, they're not going to go willingly and probably can't afford to do so. So now you've got, you know, abandonment issues as a result of not having options. And I think if we came as a city and said, hey, we've got an opportunity here, it involves some bond measures, and it involves some credits, it involves some discounts for the real cost of things, incentives, then in a short period of time, we've really got it dialed in and not having to struggle with every single person that may have a need.
The other thing, I mean, there's all sorts of variables here, too, because if you are over 200 feet, let's say you're 700 feet away, and you're lower than the gravity system, you actually have to have a grinder pump and then have a force line running in a right-of-way. The city doesn't want a bunch of little sewer force lines that are shallow, carrying sewage.
you know, right through the road. We want gravity systems that we know can work. People can excavate because they're going to be shallow systems. So, you know, I don't really like the idea. You know, 8th Street, 10th Street, 12th Street, those are just tough to make public sewer work without a lift station. There's other neighborhoods up on Tanner Road that I think everything can be kind of gravitated in, so bit by bit. Or Old Sideview, sewer can slowly work its way out if drain fields are, you know, failing or,
yep.
So, every situation's different.
Yep. One other question, sort of remote. If the city property, the city line is adjacent to residential property outside, so just outside of urban growth boundary, and our stub out stops, can that property owner in somehow capacity hook to our sewer system?
I've been told legally no.
Okay.
On that. That part of the reason the urban growth area was set up was to prevent sprawl, and sprawl is created with public sewer. I mean, that's the constraint for development in the area.
Even
traffic and transportation, it's not. It's how much pain you want, how long you want to wait on this Hobart Road or 18 or right. 90 or whatever. But sewer, it's, so I don't think so.
Okay. I just asked because I know Salal water runs all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of Salal is outside the urban growth there. Half of it's inside the city limits and half of it's outside. And where it's outside, it's all septic.
So, sewer benefit district and a bond for sewer. Two options.
Massage some of this language. Yeah.
Page 24, I have a question. Under connection to public sewer waiver and variance, there's a reference on point 3 for a lot area greater than or equal to 10 acres. In what is the 10 there? How do we come up with that if we're thinking of single family residential?
I'm not sure which page you're looking at, but what
page 24.
24. Oh, that was created, I think, about a year or two ago as part of the Tollgate Farm Park project. So that's publicly owned by the city and Metropolitan Sideview Park District. And so they built a vault.
I know what they did.
Yeah.
But my question is, 10 acres is not necessary for a septic drain field.
No, it's not at all.
I'm just wondering why are we saying 10? Excuse me.
That was somewhat arbitrary. Okay. That was something that was created a couple of years ago. It's because that property was greater than 10 acres.
Okay.
So.
And that provision is, it needs to be 1 through 5. All of those items need to be met. It's not an or, either or, it's an and.
Got it. Yeah, I was just questioning 10 acres.
Yes, because Tollgate Farm Park. Or Tollgate Park. Put the restrooms out there. And the costs of pumping that vault were a lot more than the park district thought they would be, so...
I wasn't there when that provision was made, but I would suspect it has to do with there are a number of publicly owned properties within the city limits, and that the intent was that this code provision would be applicable to the ones that are further out and beyond the existing sewer and are on the outskirts of town.
I don't think there's very many properties that probably qualify for this one. One, there's not that many properties owned by the city. Two, there's not that many properties greater than 10 acres.
There's very few, so that's why I'm wondering, why is it at 10?
It was arbitrary, as for Tollgate Park. Yeah. That's why it was done.
Okay. Page 26, there's a comment for you, Mark, if you can confirm it's correct or mention. On page 26, 1320.080, point A, new construction. So I don't know if these comments have been addressed.
Speak for development on them. Yeah, that's correct, the way it worked for you.
And then under the sewer connection charge applicability 13.20.090, a comment for our finance group. Has that been responded to yet?
Sorry, I'm still catching up. Which one were we on now?
13.20.090 sewer connection charge. I'm just wondering if our finance
department. I think she did she had not as of this afternoon, but I think I did see she sent an email through with a suggestion for how to clarify it.
Okay.
So we can bring that to the next meeting.
What's our timeline on this turnaround?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take this to Transportation Public Works Committee, which meets March 8th or 9th, assuming that we're getting a recommendation to move forward with you guys tonight, so that the TPW committee would be interested in what you guys think. Sounds like you have there's going to be a final meeting for this, or?
If there's some updates coming and some clarification.
Amendments, right. So based on the discussion I'm hearing, we weren't sure coming into it. Based on what I'm hearing, I think we will need to meet again on it. It doesn't mean it can't still go to the CPW meeting as an introduction, and there's a lot to get through in this. So I think that I'm not sure how those usually, how much time they usually spend on each one, but potentially they need more than one.
I would provide it to them 5 days before, but we usually hit. We probably only spent a couple minutes on this. Honestly, in the sewer benefit district that we talked about would be a separate conversation. That's not going to be included in here, that separate
right.
discussion.
But, yeah.
So, it could either go as an induction then, but not ready to go to council, or we could push it back to the following month.
Yeah, going to TPW, as soon as I could get this to council would be the second meeting in March, which would be March 21st. That's the soonest this thing could fly.
Realistically, we should, at our next meeting, be able to wrap it up.
Yeah, that'll go to end of April.
So I'm on page 28, and use of old building sewers, and which is section 13.20.140. And I didn't really feel I read anything about INI. And I'm not sure if you want this opportunity here or somewhere in this chapter to talk about this as a way to address it when you're talking about old building sewers and where you might have problems.
Yeah, I think we want to study the INI problem more before we go about making code changes. So we want to know more about the problem.
So it's better to leave it vague.
We're kind of in a fact-finding mission right now.
Okay. Yeah. So it's better to leave it vague.
Yeah.
Okay. How are we doing, Planning Commission?
I have one quick question about 13.20.150 excavations. How it reads, streets, sidewalks, parkways, so on, shall be restored. It's the restored part where I'm thinking, can we add like covered or protected while we're in that course of work?
Well, it doesn't need to be in the code, so
they
would get a permit from us, a street use permit or a clear and green permit.
Okay.
So,
thank you for that clarity.
That's all I have so far. So Any final thoughts from the commission?
Final thoughts on?
No, just any final questions or comments?
Just yeah, clarification on some of the things we talked about, and especially in the table, and then some time to look at the comments received.
On page 9, you got to capitalize the title of the rate.
Taxes, rates, and fees.
Yep.
And we'll just check throughout the entire thing to make sure there's no other ones.
On page 10, insert the word city for water, city water.
Yep. And then I also have on page 21 that we'll look into the definition for the failing OSS and discuss if it makes sense to change it to failed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have the comments brought in from finance for that, as well as Mark will look into the sewer benefit district or bond and education system of the existing OSS.
We can do that pretty, if obviously it doesn't need to be part of this, but we can get the word out.
Yeah, I think what the important thing would be is to find a way to put, if that's a possibility, to include some kind of language in here that there is an opportunity to participate. And so that's why it would be good to know.
Yeah, I do know there's the potential this year for to come to the vote in November. There's talk about a transportation levy of sales tax. There's talk about property tax, a small one for older roads. So reconstructing older roads, sidewalk reinvestment, and alley paving. So there's some streets in our city that are really low. Our pavement condition index are down at 10, 20, 30, 40. And they can't just be overlaid. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. It stops the bleeding for a couple seconds. But unless you have the subbase thickness, unless you have it properly compacted, your asphalt layers done right, and you figure out drainage that you're going to sheet water off to either side, and you're collecting that water and getting it away from the road, I think there's some interest, just giving you guys a heads up, from City Council about potentially taking that to the voters in November, some type of 0.1% sales tax increase or 0.2%. I think a 0.2% sales tax increase, the estimated amount was about $600,000 per year. So that's quite significant for pavement reconstruction to hit some of these older neighborhoods that, you know, we patch potholes, and, you know, the dump truck drives over it, and the water comes back, and it's like the cookie crumbles.
So, Mark, when you have a road in such condition, do you have it in your authority that if you have to dig up and reconstruct a road to lay in sewer lines and other utilities underground at that point?
I don't have a requirement to do that. I have to be careful about that because of all the extra costs associated with it. It's pretty rare that a city or a utility district will put in dry sewers. It can be done, but it adds to the cost. And sewers are the most expensive utility to construct for because it's the deepest. And so oftentimes there's dewatering associated with trenches. And usually when we're doing overlays, all we're doing is just maybe a small grind, a pre-level, and an overlay. If we have to go to something more expensive, like a reconstruction, where
like
we're taking all of
it.
Yeah, 14th. I mean, to give you an idea, that was $250,000 project, and that was only about a block and a half. If we added sewer, if we just put in a dry sewer line at 8 feet deep, we're kind of guessing what the neighboring connections would be, and we probably just added an extra $100,000 to the project cost putting that sewer line, and maybe, you know, if it's 500 feet long at $300 a foot, that's $150,000. Of course, in the future, you can still put it outside that road corridor. There's room in the right of way to still build it between the edge of asphalt and property lines, so we don't have to tear up that asphalt, other than stub lines coming in. But it's you know, we don't have a blank check either.
Right, right.
And nobody wants the government to have a blank check, so there's priorities.
Okay.
I just add a footnote to everything else I've just said tonight. I think we owe a duty to everybody out there, not just to tell them, hey, this is how much it's going to cost. We need to explain some options, and if we don't know some options, we need to find them.
so that they, at each step of the way, are actually having a choice to the best of our ability. Well, anything. Infrastructure, but I know the topics of septic and water now, but I just think too often we get caught into this quagmire. If it's a good idea to do it, okay, how much is it going to cost? As opposed to set up some options. Septic's a hot topic, obviously, but any homeowner's going to want to have a choice, not feel like here's your bill.
Gildersleeve.
Completely different point of view, and I think that was actually from a suggestion or comment from a suggestion Scott made. It does flow better, the shifting the abbreviations to the front of the definitions. So thank you for getting that done. Mm-hmm. Oh, was it? Okay. The last meeting had a lot in it. A little blur on who it was, but it actually works better so that as you head into the definitions, you already have that in your head, right, what all that stuff is. So thank you for getting that done.
Okay.
Yeah, one other comment, I'll just say, positive comment, is kind of listing the changes, you know, in the letter. And then there was a little comment that said this is all new. I would say one other way it could be improved would be to give us the maybe the doc version, and then that's never been done yet, so I don't know if it's not allowed or you don't want to do it.
No, we can.
Because then I think you can kind of hover over a comment, you can see like the time and date kind of thing. Because otherwise there's no idea, or you have to kind of really interpret it, which you did, and it's worked this time, but in the past, it's gotten like really ridiculous to see what is new and what isn't. And everyone's short on time, so in a lot of ways, we only want to review what's new, or at least if we're short on time, then that's the priority. So.
Yeah.
But thanks for pointing out what was new.
That's a good comment. We go back and forth with everyone, which one's the best way to deliver it. So, open to suggestions, certainly.
Okay. I guess for me, the failed OSS and thinking about the incentives and the options for people who want to get on sewer will be something that I'll think a little bit more in depth about, and maybe we can email back and forth some possible language. But I think that's it for me. So I'll entertain a motion to table this to our next meeting, which is March 9th. Do I hear a motion?
So moved. Friendly amendment to move on for the evening.
First, we have to table this motion. Or table this document. Motion by Commissioner Lucky, and a second by Commissioner Gildersleeve. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is tabled until our March 9th meeting. Good of the order.
I won't be at the March 9th.
Anything else for good of the order? Motion?
Motion.
I'll hear it.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Lucky, second by Commissioner Holland. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Commission is adjourned. It is 9:06. Thank you all. Michael,